The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as 7 times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then, in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Wonderful. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Start you off with a tiny little story here this morning. One night, not so very long ago, I'm driving down the road. It's nowhere near here. It's out west. It was very quiet. It was very alone. As best I could tell, I was the only one on the road when suddenly, out of nowhere, barreling up behind me, comes a car, stops right on my bumper, horn blaring, headlights glaring. Let me tell you, he was mad at me. Now, I was going over 70 miles an hour, okay? But it was just not fast enough for him, and he decided he was going to let me know. He was angry. I wasn't in the left lane, I promise, okay? I don't even know what he was angry about. Only thing I know is, whatever it was, he was angry long before he ever got in that car. Now, we see that kind of thing around us all the time, don't we? This low-grade, boiling rage. We see it on the road. We see it in the grocery store. You see it at work. You see it at school. Some of us see it under our own roofs, don't we? Low-grade, boiling rage, and it burns. And it burns. And the first reading today tells us that wrath and anger are hateful things, but the sinner hugs them tight. Man, what a true statement that is. Wrath and anger are hateful things, and yet the sinner, guess who that is, ladies and gentlemen? That's you and me. Hugs them tight, don't we? Don't we? We love to nurse our anger. People are angry about things that happened to them last week. People are angry about things that happened in the last month. people stay angry at things that happened to them last year, some people are still angry for things that happened decades ago. Wrath and anger, hateful things, but we sinners, we hug them tight and they burn, and what are we going to do about it? Well, you want to know what? The antidote to anger is forgiveness, and that's what we're going to learn about a little bit today. But before we do, we got to understand anger a little bit better. So let's start there, shall we? Okay, anger. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that anger is a passion of the soul that occurs when something good that you're trying to seek gets impeded, right? What's anger? Anger is a Jersey barricade on the highway to justice. You're looking for something good, and something gets in the way, and that is what makes you angry. Now, anger is one of the seven capital sins. Okay? But anger is complicated, because it's not always a sin. Sometimes, when the good thing that you're seeking is very, very good indeed, and the thing that gets in the way of the good thing that you're seeking is very unreasonable, anger can be virtuous. You know that? Think about a parent. When the health, safety, or well-being of their child is in jeopardy, think about Christ our Lord in the gospel. Remember when he busted out a bullwhip and drove the money changers out of the temple? My favorite detail from that gospel is that before he busted out that bullwhip, he wove it with his own hands. He knew what he was going to do, and he chose that anger, and he's like us in all things but sin, right? So anger is not always sinful. You want to know the key to understand anger? I hope you find this helpful. The key to understand anger is to know that anger is the flip side of love. What is it that you love in your life? It's one of the most important questions we can ever ask. Young person is trying to discern their vocation. Question to ask, tell me, what is it that you love? You want to know one of the very best ways to answer that question? What is it that you love in your life? Answer yourself this. What makes you angry? It's the very same thing. You know, I'm not much of a fan of fast food, but one day I was amazed. I was inside of a Wendy's or someplace, and I watched a man absolutely unload his anger on this poor employee behind the counter because she put ketchup on his hamburger, and he'd asked for no ketchup. I tell you the injustice of it. What is it that you love? What is it that you love? Ask yourself what makes you angry. Anger and love, by the way, these are two things that are infinite. Do you know that? They're dangerous because they're infinite. Heaven is a place of perfect, infinite love, and there's no anger whatsoever in that blessed realm. But the contrast, I'll let St. Catherine of Siena's words say it for me. You know what St. Catherine of Siena said? She said, anger is the one emotion on earth that brings us closest to the experience of hell. Hell, you could think of as a place where people are angry at one another and at God forever. Now, sinful anger is when we love something else more than someone else, or rather, we love ourselves more than we love someone else. But what happens when anger meets a greater love? What happens? That's when anger becomes forgiveness. And that is why Jesus calls us to forgive again and again and again. Because anger and forgiveness are flip sides of the same coin. He calls us to love again and again and again. And that means we have to forgive again and again and again. Anger is what happens when, forgiveness is what happens when anger meets a greater love. And that's what our Lord tells us here in this little parable he just heard. Tells us about a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. Of course, the king represents God, right? King represents God. And who is the servants? That's us, right? And he says there's two debts here in question. Here in the gospel, there's a great big debt, and there's a much smaller debt. Now, unfortunately, that doesn't really do justice to the scripture that we just heard. So let me tell you what the actual original text of Matthew says in this case. When he talks about a much smaller debt, the actual words Matthew uses in his gospel are 100 denarius coins. That was the smaller debt. 100 denarius coins. Now, a denarius coin was one day's wage. So what's the smaller debt? 100 days' wages. Now, that's almost a third of what you'd make in a year. That's no trifle. Do you think you'd be mad at somebody if they owed you one-third of what you made in a year? You just might, right? It's not like you owed them a stick of gum or a cup of coffee. But it's nothing compared to the larger debt, what he was forgiven. The larger debt here in the original text of Matthew is a sum of 10,000 talents. Now, a talent was a weight. A talent was a weight of gold, and it was equal to 6,000 denarius coins. Now, don't worry, I did the math for you, okay? 10,000 talents was more money than a working man could earn in 200,000 years of labor. It was a question of a debt that was impossible to repay. And that's what our Lord says, we stand in debt before God for our sins, which are infinite. We can never repay them, but there's good news, right? There's good news. The good news is that your debt is forgiven. Your sin is forgiven on one of many conditions. And one of those conditions, ladies and gentlemen, one of those conditions is that we wholeheartedly forgive one another. That's a tough message, right? Because forgiveness, you know, I like to think of forgiveness as being sort of like public transportation. It's a wonderful idea for somebody else, right? Forgiveness, I'm all in favor of it, but please, you go first. Forgiveness is a beautiful idea, just beautiful, until you have something to forgive. Until you have had something in your life very precious to you taken out of your life, then forgiveness is not a beautiful idea. Then forgiveness is a very, very painful idea. And one of the hardest edges of all the gospel is this message: you have no choice. If you want to be forgiven, you have no choice. You must forgive yourself. Now, wouldn't it be great if there was a little switch we could just flip and we could just forgive? Maybe we could tug our ears and all the anger would just roll on out. But it doesn't work that way. So can I give you three little things that all of us can do to help us in this essential work of forgiveness? Three little things, okay? First of all, there are many prayers we say regularly that remind us of the need to forgive. And what I want to ask you to do is to pray them consciously. Consciously. We begin Mass every day, and certainly every Sunday, with a prayer that's called the Confiteor. And it goes something like this. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned. Not my husband, not my wife, not my kid, not my brother, not my sister, not my employer, not my employee. Who's sinned? I have sinned. When you say those words, where's your mind? Are you daydreaming? Think about them. We say it over and over again because we need to repeat them over and over again. Another really important one is in the Our Father that has a little line that goes, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. St. Augustine called that line the frightful petition. You want to know why? It's because we ask God to forgive us. How much? Only as much as we forgive others when they sin against us. When we say these prayers again and again and again, think about them and mean what you say. It's a great, great help. Here's another way to practice forgiveness, and it is start small. I'm sure in every last one of our lives there's something really big that we need to be forgiven for. Don't start with a big thing. Start small. Guess what? God has sprinkled all throughout your life millions of little trifles. And you can think of them as forgiveness practice. They're all over the place. Tell you a little story, all right? Names hidden to protect the innocent. I was living with a priest once upon a time. Not here, okay? Living with a priest once upon a time. And when he was finished drinking a carton of milk, do you know what that guy would do? He'd put the empty carton back in the fridge every single time. And then he'd finish a can of soda. And guess what he'd do with that? He'd leave it right where he'd finish it again and again and again. And it was so irritating, but you want to know what? It was nothing. It was forgiveness practice. Flannery O'Connor says that forgiveness is a habit of being. And how do you build a habit? How do you build a habit? You build it one choice at a time. And that's why God has sprinkled our lives with millions of opportunities to practice. Start small. And here's the third thing to help us to forgive. Don't pretend it's going to be easy. Don't pretend it's going to be easy. Pope Benedict once said that when you forgive somebody else in this world, something inside of you has to die. And we have to do it again and again and again, sometimes for the same offense. Our Lord says you forgive 77 times. Sometimes that's how often you have to forgive the same offense. Because forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a decision. Remember, a flip side of love. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. And forgiveness does not mean that you don't still feel hurt. Forgiveness doesn't mean that the offense never happened. Forgiveness does not mean that you've forgotten. Forgiveness does not mean that you fully trust the other person again. You know what forgiveness means? It means one thing and one thing only. Forgiveness means I do not hold this against you. In what I say, in what I do, and in what I think. I do not hold this against you. Don't expect that to be easy. If we keep that in mind, it'll make it much, much easier to forgive ourselves as we continue to fight this good fight. And if none of that works, please remember this. One day, all of us here are going to breathe our last and die. And when we do, we're going to stand in judgment before Almighty God, and we are going to answer for the decisions and the choices that we have made. And you want to know what? We all need lots of forgiveness. If you can't bring yourself to forgive somebody else out of love for that other person, maybe you can bring yourself to forgive them because you're afraid of going to hell. It's not the most noble motive in the world, but it works in a pinch. Right? Forgiveness. It's a Christian basic. It's a Christian basic, and we got no choice. Where do we begin? Right here. When do we begin? Right now, ladies and gentlemen. Right now. It's your ticket to heaven. Just like Christ our Lord told us. Blessed are those who show mercy. Mercy shall be theirs. Amen.